This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a free preview of Doughboys Double. Subscribe and get a new episode every Tuesday at patreon.com/doughboys. Yarg, and welcome to Doughboys Double. I'm Nick Weiger, along with the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell.
First of all, I don't think I've ever heard you say that up top, and then also I've never heard you do it so half-heartedly.
Yarg.
Yarg, Wigs.
This is record number 3 for me today, so I'm a little on fumes, as they say. We're hanging in there.
What else were you recording today?
I had a stream in between this. It wasn't Doughboys. Don't worry about it.
Not a record.
Okay, I had a stream. It was not a record, but it was still talking into a microphone for a while. Look, it doesn't matter. My life is easy. I don't have nothing. I have no call to complain. I'm just saying that my energy is a little lower. Yarg, is that better?
Yarg, yeah, that's better.
Yarg.
I mean, embarrassing in front of not only this guest but every guest. It's just these, you know. I guess some would put it in hacky territory.
The entire month, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Wags, this is 40. My last few hours of being 30, recording Doughboys podcast.
We're recording this on Mitch's birthday eve. Tomorrow you will be turning 40 Apatow style.
At the stroke of midnight, I'll be eating a cupcake out of garbage. It's the only thing I remember.
Oh yeah, you can that's in the movie. He's eating a cupcake out of the garbage. I remember using the iPad on the shitter.
Oh, okay.
Johnny Pemberton's a room service guy. He's funny.
That's right. That's right.
You have a. I was gonna say if you stayed in the Pacific time zone, you could add an extra 3 hours of 39. But you took a voyage by air galleon, back to Quincy, Massachusetts.
That's right. I'm in my mom's basement.
Yeah.
The 40-year-old virgin prophecy coming true at midnight. It's happening, Wags. I'm joining you in the 40s, dude.
Congrats. It's great. I'm having fun.
Hey, this episode is brought to you by AARP. Am I right, Wags?
And Viagra.
We've needed that for a good 20 years.
Yeah. What's the point?
Wags.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. I want to say that every guest this month gets every guest gets a pilot name, pirate name. Oh, Jesus. Every guest gets a pirate name.
Pirate name.
Yes. And Emma, I don't know how annoying this is, but in the episode titles, we're gonna put them in there.
Oh, it's not annoying. By the time this comes out, I'm already doing it.
Yeah.
All right, great.
It's fine.
All right, so this month I got an update on our past guests. We've had Captain Cranch, Griffin Newman.
Excellent.
The pirate known only as Patchy Beard, John Hodgman, a.k.a. Reluctant John.
Very good.
And finally, First Mate Evil No Henderson, Ever Anderson. So
good vampire's name.
That's a tease for Thursday.
That's a great vampire's name.
That's a tease for Thursday. Eva's our guest for Thursday when we're talking about Pirates Dinner Adventure. Let's just fucking say it.
Good. Yeah, we're talking about which we visited on the same day where we had our very special guest today.
That's right, Mitch. And I don't know if he has a pirate name
yet. One of the funniest.
But I'll introduce him, one of the funniest people around. I'll introduce him with his real name. From SNL and Saturday Morning All-Star Hits, which you can find on Netflix. Kyle Mooney is here. Hi, Kyle.
Yarg.
Wow, that's great, how you do it.
Great to be here.
We're very happy to have you.
Great to have you.
Oh, I had such a fun time hanging out with you all, so I'm excited to be here doing the thing.
We were elated that you were able to join us. That was a blast.
It was on the Doughboy's dime. It was awesome.
It was a great day, which now I should give a... Well, I guess I'll talk about that on the... edit me out, Emma. I guess okay. I'll talk about...
edit you out of the whole episode? Just delete you possibly. Entirely? Or... Okay.
Look,
that... No, him saying the first word and then like hiccuping in horror was very funny. I don't know if we want to edit that out. I also think people will look at the topic of this episode and figure out what that restaurant is going to be.
Sure.
So so I know going forward, is that fully off limits? We're not talking about that experience at all.
I don't think we can talk about that experience. Great. But Kyle, maybe we'll just get a little tidbit from you afterwards that we'll plug into that episode. We ate at a couple.
That's smart.
I mean, he didn't sign up for that, so. I'm not sure if he's thrilled by that idea, but
yeah, you still get one guest appearance fee. Sorry.
I'll take what I can get.
All right, great.
Well, I had lunch with a friend, Adam. Adam Rojko Vega. Adam, I don't know how to say your middle name there, what you go by, but Rocco. I'm going to talk to him about it. He'll be fine with this. And his lovely wife works for the Disney company, because if you're in the industry, and so he hooked us up with Disneyland tickets the night before.
Wow.
And it ended up going, Wags, you said I will not show up to the park until 1 p.m. So
yes.
We went down there, and Kyle got us reservations for maybe something we're going to do on a later episode.
Maybe.
And so Kyle was a savior too. But there was multiple people who tried to help us out. Ben Simpson tried to help us out as well. And
what's
Benjamin
up, Ben?
Simpson. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks for the help, buddy.
But needless to say, Kyle was down to go to Disneyland at kind of a last minute moment's notice, and what a great day it was. You're a huge Disney fan, is that correct?
I do love it. Yeah, I'm from San Diego, so we're close down there to Anaheim. We're probably 2 hours, maybe hour and a half on a very good day. So I grew up going all the time as a kid, and I will say, I think Pirates of the Caribbean might be my favorite ride at Disneyland. I think I certainly could make an argument for it. But yeah, I go pretty frequently, I'd say.
It's fucking rad. Are you I forget what they've called annual pass holders now. Are you a key holder, a key master?
I'm not currently a key holder. As I understand it, I'm too, like, I missed whatever opening there was. Like, this was probably August 2021 or something like that. I didn't buy one, and then now you can no longer get in. So no, not now, but hopefully someday, maybe. But I did have a pass back in the day, but prior to the
right
key.
I signed up, like, it wasn't even a year until when I had signed up, and then the pandemic hit. So like within like maybe 7 months of having my Disney pass, the pandemic hit, and I don't know if I ever got, like, I don't know if they ever, I don't even think they even sent me anything ever. Like, it was a thing where, like, it felt kind of, it bums me out a little bit. But I think, you know, I think I actually did use it enough that, like, even for a year's worth, it was worth it. Kyle, do you have, here's the annoying question. Do you have a pirate's name?
I got some half ideas. And hearing the names that you've already collected, you said Hodgman was... Captain Patchy Beard?
Yes. AKA Reluctant John.
Yeah.
Okay.
The pirate only known as Patchy Beard, AKA Reluctant John, which is, I guess, does kind of negates his name a little bit, but that's fine.
Because initially I was thinking Scruffy Beard, but now I don't. That's fully off
Scruffy
the table.
Beard's great.
Too close. Well, can I pitch you the other one, and then maybe we
please,
can.
Please, yes.
The other idea would be in honor of. The star of the current version of Pirates of the Caribbean, it would be Captain Snack Taro. because I do wow. like snacks, and my wife does read my tarot occasionally.
That's perfect. Okay, I love it.
Great.
I would say that you gave like we can't help it. I think that we can't really top it or help it in any way. We can't punch it up. I think it is perfect.
You said tarot, and I was thinking like tarot root, and like it was like, oh, you snack on tarot root, but I like tarot cards because also that ties in with sort of like the, I feel like that there's a sort of pirate mysticism that's not to it, that's akin to hoodoo.
Yep, that was all part of the plan, Nick.
Love it.
Captain Snack Tarot.
Captain Snack Tarot, welcome aboard.
Yarg.
I'm very excited that you are even saying yarg. I was very nervous about anyone we had on and just saying yar. I mean, you know, it's slightly embarrassing, but I got to say this. We started our Disney day off on the water, too, Kyle. You and I, we got to Pirates of the Caribbean. We met up there, and then we rode the canoes.
That's true. Yeah, so we had our sea legs in place.
Yes,
and the person who was guiding us, our captain, I guess, on the canoe, kept on doing bits and kept on reminding us how slow we were moving, mm-hmm. in a way that it became very predictable. Like every mm-hmm. joke was like, "Here's two things I know. One, that's a moose. Two, you guys got to speed up." I don't know. That's obviously not a. They were better than that. I don't want to undersell what he was doing.
No, they. I mean, they were very good. I don't even know if they were better than that. They were very, like a lot of the things were like you guys are going too slow. Like it was basically just like that we were going slow. He was kind of jacked too. He kind of looked. He had like kind of like the rock tattoos. Wags, you would have liked. I think you would have honestly liked the canoes. Have you ever done them before?
I've never done them. I bet I would have liked them because I like that's a kind of physical activity that I'd be like, oh, this is fun. You get to get the blood pumping a little bit, you know, because there's a lot of standing and sitting at theme parks.
I did find that my arm was like when we went for a stretch before we were trying to get reservations for something. And then while we were on the canoe, we got word that our reservation was ready and we had 10 minutes to be there. And so we were like stuck on this boat. We got stuck behind the river boat. And mm-hmm. also like, he was like making like slow jokes, but I actually thought canoeing up to the, like around the bend, I was like, oh, my arm, like it is kind of the closest thing to a workout at Disney that you'll do.
I would say I was rowing with my non-dominant arm, which made it difficult. Mm. And then I will say there is a sense of danger because it seemingly is real. I don't know. They say there's no track, but could anyone topple over? I don't know. It seems like it could happen.
When you pull into like the dock, you're surrounded by dock. There's a little piece where basically your canoe is like almost untoppable at toppable. At that point where you can't really, it feels like you can't, but I feel like if you're out in the water and someone stood up or whatever, I feel like you could fall in. It is a slight sense of danger.
Speaking of danger, because you mentioned the big ship. So, and we are in Yark Dober Barfest. So I'm also like Kyle, I'm from SoCal, I'm from LA County, not San Diego, although my parents and my brother live in San Diego. And
your parents are down in San Diego now?
They're in Oceanside. I mean, I shouldn't dox them too closely, but they're in Oceanside. My brother's in San Diego proper. My brother's been in San Diego proper since college. He went to UCSD and just sort of stuck around as a family. He's doing great. He's an alpha. Anyway, because I grew up in SoCal and I grew up in the Long Beach area, which is very close to Anaheim, I had multiple friends who like worked at Disneyland. And one of them told me a harrowing story that I looked up now, which involved it was the big sailing ship. Mm-hmm. And it was a thing that they like, he was like working there at the time this happened as a teenager. So like he was aware of it, but there was basically a giant rope fastened to a cleat on the hull of the ship. And it was just like so tense that the cleat like ripped out of the wood and flew towards the shore, or flew into the boat. I forget which is which. I think it flew towards the shore, because the way I heard it told is that it hit a guest in the head.
Jesus.
Killed him.
Jesus.
And the Disney park sanitation, the custodial staff there, like, were told to clean up the crime scene. Oof. And they got in a lot of trouble for, like, you know, like, moving the body and cleaning up the blood or whatever. So at the time he was working there, everyone was just, they were just trying to reiterate, like, you cannot do that. Like, don't do that. Like, if someone gets badly injured, you just gotta leave it alone.
They cleaned it up, like, as fast as they clean up vomit, it was just gone in, like, 3 minutes.
Just die here?
I know, now getting away from the waters, but talking about death, sorry, but since you brought it up, my stepmom, also from the San Diego area, she did her grad night at Disneyland. So, you know, senior year, graduating. I don't know if you guys did right. grad night. But they bust up from San Diego, and then there's some bands that perform. She, there was one of her fellow students who passed away by, I believe at the time there was this ride, the People Mover, which sort of was on a track and took you around different attractions in Tomorrowland.
Right.
But I think he got out of the car and, like, tried to walk on the track and then was, you know, run into in some way or another.
Jesus.
Holy
but
shit.
But, like, all of the parents waiting for the bus to come back from Anaheim in San Diego didn't know whose child died. So, like, Jesus. Everybody, was obviously incredibly frightened. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to bring it. I don't know. Disneyland deaths are their own thing. I'm just,
sorry
to bring it up.
No, not at all. I started it. I will say the grad nights they do at Disneyland, which my high school did not do, but a lot of high schools did, is my understanding is that it'll be like, you know, 12 area high schools will all have the same night, because it wouldn't make economic sense to just have one high school at the park for a night. So it'll be a bunch of different parents, high schools.
Some parents have their fingers crossed. They have, like, a shitty kid.
I hope he stays on Tom Sawyer Island. When I've heard that, and then I thought about that later as an adult, I was like, that's got to be, like, a nightmare for the park employees. That's got to be, like, their most dreaded night of the year, which is, like, hey, we've got, like, fucking 250, you know, drunk high school seniors who are just, like, cutting loose for the last time, feel like there are no consequences at all. That's just got to be so fucking harrowing to work there under those circumstances.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a little bit about because we have lots more Disney to discuss, and we will, but I am curious because you're someone from San Diego, which is also a big theme park town in its own right. You got your SeaWorld down there. Mm. You now have your Legoland, and there's an adjacent Legoland water park, which I know my niece and nephew like to frequent. Do you have any opinion on any of the San Diego area parks?
Yeah, I don't know what we consider the San Diego Zoo, or I don't even know.
Oh, sure, yeah.
When I was growing up, they had what was called the Wild Animal Park, which I feel like has a new name, maybe like some sort of safari situation. But yeah, I've not been to any in a while. I definitely love the zoo. I really liked SeaWorld. I think, you know, when Blackfish came out, that sort of rearranged the way a lot of us probably think about it, but I have fond memories of that park. Definitely, we also have not proper like big theme park, but we have a little amusement area in Belmont in Mission Beach called Belmont Park with a roller coaster. And growing up, they had like laser tag and Pirate's Cove, which was sort of like a Discovery Zone style, like several, like a bunch of slides and stuff. But no park that I still continue to go back to be totally honest. Right. I've never been to Legoland.
I've been to Legoland as an adult, and it's not a great adult park.
Let me just tell you, you got to get to SeaWorld post Blackfish. There's no, like, the lines are way less. I was going to say there's Pirate Coves on the East Coast. Emma, you know these, the mini golf.
Yeah.
The Pirate Coves mini golf, which are like, they do kind of, they, I think they kind of like run mini golf in the Northeast. I feel like, yeah, I see a lot of them in New Hampshire. Is it maybe New Hampshire based, Emma? I have no idea.
It might be.
The Pirates Coves were great. Fun mini golf. I've never been to SeaWorld before, but I got a tougher question for you, my man.
Uh-oh.
Where's your favorite California burrito? Which spot?
You asshole. Wow. You couldn't have texted me this before? Damn it. Now everybody in Scripps Ranch is going to be like, Kyle, what the hell are you talking about?
We heard you on Yarkdoberfest, dude.
Yark, Kyle. I guess it would more be like, hey, Kyle, what was up with the California burrito stuff on the double? I will give two answers. My brothers introduced me to this spot that's actually very close to SeaWorld in the Mission Bay area called JV's. And JV's. I think they were probably like, they've been making the California burrito since certainly the early to mid 90s when I first tried it. And I imagine prior to that as well. And that's it's a real big boy. They also do like a surf and turf, you know, carne asada, all of the kind of classics to San Diego. So that one's great. But going back to my home community of Scripps Ranch is a place called Chili Peppers. There's I think a couple. There might be one in like, I don't know where it is, Rancho Cucamonga or something like that. I don't want to try to guess. But yeah, that's a favorite California burrito. You have to add guacamole, which I'm somebody who feels like that's an essential component. So that's a little bit of a costly thing. You know, building this thing, it gets more and more expensive.
The way my friend Randy introduced it to me was adding guacamole as well. But my friend Randy, who I went to college with, he was a San Diego guy, Encinitas.
Nice.
And that's in 2005, I had my first California burrito at Juanita's.
Yep.
Encinitas has the YMCA there. Sean White used to drive fast through the parking lot. That's all he told me about it. But I fell in love. I never had it before, and I still to this day, that version I had was, oh fuck.
That's the Chili Peppers one. I found a picture of that from their website.
Wow.
The fries look good, which is like, we just talked about Fat Sal's and how an issue with Fat Sal's is that the fries aren't really good in the sandwich. And it's like, a burrito with fries in it can be really good but the fries do have to be decent. If you get like mushy or bad fries, I think it's bad. But Juanita's is always the standard I held it up to. And now I do go no guac though, Kyle. That's my new thing.
Interesting. And fully fair. I mean, I actually think the iconic California burrito, I would say, has guac and sour cream in it.
Yeah.
But most places, I think you'd have to add those additionally. JV's, for instance, all of that comes in there. But be too prideful on my hometown. I do think that like almost any taco shop in San Diego is probably going to have a good burrito, I would say.
Mexican food in San Diego is outstanding. Yeah, anytime I've been down there, it's like, it's basically any place you go. Yeah. 100%. There's tons of great taquerias and tons of great sit down Mexican places. Yeah. As you would expect from its proximity to the border.
It was funny to me because there was always a battle, and look, we went to El Farolito and the burritos were great up in San Francisco, but I was like,
yeah,
they were always like, we're better. And I actually do think that you can get a good burrito in LA. I almost think that it goes the ladder of like, LA and then, but San Diego is the best. You can't beat San Diego burritos.
For a burrito, yeah. I agree with you. Sorry to cut you off, Mitch.
No.
I'd rather have a San Diego burrito than a Bay Area, than a Mission burrito from SF.
Kyle, do you have an LA California burrito that you like? I'm sure you've been to Cactus and so on.
You know, what I was just going to say, and forgive me if it's obvious or if you guys have already covered this, but like, yeah, I've always considered San Diego the burrito town, LA more of a taco town. And
there you go.
So I tend to go tacos out here. But yeah, we have there's a place down the street called Taco Spot in Eagle Rock that makes a California. And it's walking distance from my home. So So that's somewhere I couldn't even tell you where the best California burrito in LA is. Will say, I'll add to the burrito conversation. I'm sure you guys went into the minutia of this, but like a lot of folks from San Diego, my family especially, like there's a lot of controversy in the adding of rice or adding of rice and beans to the burrito. Mm. And that we're like kind of packing too much in there. The carne asada burrito, for instance, is just so simple. It's just the carne asada, the guacamole, and the pico de gallo.
Yeah.
And that's what like the San Francisco burrito is, that like chipotle, like heavy on rice and beans. But I feel like in LA, you see like Cactus is like, it has beans, but a lot of the time no rice. They won't do. I feel like in LA, you won't get rice at least, but you'll get beans a lot of the time.
Yeah, it varies from place to place, but I feel like no rice is the default. I think I agree with you. And yeah, it wasn't until, and this is a weird place to experience it, but you know, we talked about before on the show, Mitch, that Baja Fresh 15, 20 years ago used to be like a different caliber of restaurant. It was like a nice, you know, fresh Mexican place before it got bought by Wendy's and you know, turned into the fast food, you know, kind of.
That was like my favorite.
What it used to be.
I ate there like at least once a week when I first came to Baja Fresh. Yeah. Was like one of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah, I don't know if I've been there, the new version of it. Did you go to the one like by the Amoeba? Because there was one on Sunset or Hollywood.
Yes. I went to the one on Miracle Mile across from Peter Griffin and the gang at Family Guy, the offices. Wow.
That's awesome.
Right across the way.
Yeah.
Let's go get, you know, at the end of the day.
Whoa, you sound like all of them.
I loved Baja Fresh. And then, you know, now it's, then I, of course, for the first time, I tried Paquito Mas, and Paquito Mas took over for Baja Fresh. I love Paquito Mas.
It's a different caliber, but you know, like Paquito Mas, I feel like is kind of closer to what Baja Fresh used to be.
Sure.
And you know, for people who are maybe like, hey, I live in Texas. We have a Baja Fresh out here. It sucks. It's just like, yeah, I get that it's something different now, but yes, it used to be better. Anyway, what it was that was a roundabout way of saying that was the first place I would like I had a burrito that was basically just as Kyle described. They used to have a burrito that was just like, basically a protein, cheese, guac, and pico or some other salsa. And yeah, and it was just like, oh, this is just like a pure burrito, but this completely works. You don't need a lot of shit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mitch. I feel like during the summer, pretty much everything I'm doing outdoors is making me thirsty.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the issue is. That blasted sun.
Curse the sun.
Curse the sun.
Giver of life. But also,
giver of heat.
Giver of a dehydrator in chief, I'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Summer requires extraordinary hydration because of the sun that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. Yes.
The moon is cool.
Moon's real cool. When the moon is out, there's never a doubt. The moon is cool.
And when the sun's up high, you can't deny it's going to be hot. Hot, 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 hot. Anyways, I think that we've expressed that the sun gets you hot in the summertime.
Sure, and the moon keeps you cool. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America.
Wags, that's right. And you know what? It's so easy to just tear open a packet of Liquid IV, pour it into a cup, mix it up with some ice cold water, and drink it down. My favorite flavor, strawberry.
It's a hydration multiplier.
That's right.
Gets you even more hydrated, and it's easier to stay hydrated while traveling. And you know what, Mitch? We like the taste.
I love the taste. And you know what? I love that I'm getting all those electrolytes, and I'm not getting filled up with sugars.
Yeah. I love the smell, too, and it helps you out, not just while traveling, but after a big night out. You know what I mean.
Come on.
The moon is cool.
Cool, cool, cool.
The moon is cool. Cool, cool, cool. Tear, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone.
And Wise, it's got three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, eight vitamins and nutrients, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and now sugar-free. We got white peach,
wow,
green grape,
wow, raspberry melon, and lemon lime.
That's right, Wags. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DOUGHBOYS at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code DOUGHBOYS at liquidiv.com.
I love Liquid IV. You know why?
Why?
Because it's cool. Cool, cool, cool.
And the sun is hot, 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 hot.
Look, we could talk burritos all day, but we were at a theme park.
That's
true. We were at a theme park, Wags, and we got to...
We were.
I will say this. When you showed up at the time you did, and everything worked out great...
I have more on that, by the way.
You were afraid that things weren't going to work out, and I told you it was going to work out, and everything did work out, which, like...
That's what I was going to say. Okay, that's what, while you brought up. That's what I was going to say. This is the madness that you get driven to working with Mitch as closely as I do, is that Mitch has like kind of a carefree, and Emma knows this, he's just kind of a carefree sort of like, Jesus, like wait till the last minute, we'll figure it out approach. And the thing is, the magic of Mitch, Magic Mitch we call him, is that he's usually right. And this was a day where so many times, like, I feel like we were all collectively stressed out because Mitch was just saying, it's going to be fine. It's going to work out. We can do it. And every single thing worked out, including up and including Pirates Dinner Adventure, which we went to after the park. And that also includes the run up into it, where it's like the night before I was like, is this happening? What the fuck is going on? He was like, it's going to be fine. And it was.
Hold on a second. This isn't 100% fair because, yes, this is the way I do things. But you, before all this happened, I was like trying to get, I was trying to quarterback. I was trying to take the ball. You know, I was trying to be the guy who was like planning stuff. And then you told me that you had one day in September. Look, we don't have to fight about it, but like, I was like, all right, he has this one day and I'll try to get like this thing to work. And I'll try to get reservations.
By the way, we did.
This place.
I gave you another couple of days and we ended up switching days. So.
Yes. Well, we ended up going on a day. We were like, you're like, I can make this day work. And then we scheduled Pirates Intervention with Eva. But Disneyland Park, where we're going to go ride Pirates of the Caribbean, was sold out. It was sold out for the day,
which I didn't know could happen.
Yes, it was. It was sold out, and it was pretty packed in there. We all noticed that it was a pretty packed day, and especially for people in school, it just kind of is confusing that there were so many like kids and people there. But I guess that's just how it's going to be forever. We were saying that it's just there's more people in the world. I guess it's just going to be more and more packed as time goes on. But I luckily had lunch with this guy Adam who hooked us up with tickets, and then it. It all worked out, and we got into everything we needed to get into, including. So let's do a rundown of the rides we did.
Can I just add one more tidbit,
please,
to the magic of it all? Because like,
yes.
I kind of got the rundown as Mitch was incredibly nice and drove me down with him to the park. So like while we were in the parking structure, he's sort of running down all of the things we're aiming to do. That, like, as you're saying, weren't necessarily set up per se. But one of the things was, yeah, essentially, like, we've got to get to this dinner. We got to get to Pirates Dinner Adventure by the end of the night. So, like, we'll see what we can fit in before then. Once we get to the park, and this is going to step a little bit on what you were saying, Mitch, if we're going to run down all the rides we got to do, one of the things we decided we wanted to do was Rise of the Resistance. But our time was like, 5:10 p.m. And what time did your dinner start?
The dinner started at 7. We were supposed to
at 7.
The
doors
dinner
open
started
at
7.
Yeah. We're
supposed to show up at 6:30, yeah.
So in theory, you'd have to ride this like 15-minute ride, then like book it all the way across
the
Disneyland, get into the parking tram, travel to the parking structure, then drive to the dinner. But here's the
which is 15 to 20 minutes away itself.
Here's the thing that I was not expecting, because we all got to have, we all went on the Incredicoaster at about, 4:45 or something
that? Yeah, almost 5.
So my thought was like, okay, if Mitch is really going to try to go to Rise of the Resistance, we are going to book it through California Adventure into Disney, to the other end of the park to get to Star Wars Land. What I had forgotten about, though Mitch had like briefly mentioned it as like, oh, this might go down, was that he ended up throughout that entire journey hopping on another podcast. So there was no like rush or hurry. Seemingly, he was like taking his time talking to the to these people. Well, Scott Gardner and I were like, "Yeah, he's really doing it." But it was impressive.
You're guesting on the flagrant ones from Disneyland.
I guess on the flagrant ones. Chef Kevin told me to still show up. I was like, "I'm gonna be in Disney." He's like, "You can still do it." And so I called in and I basically just apologized for like 30 minutes. And I did, when we got on Rise of the Resistance, I did go live with them and I showed them what we were seeing on Rise of the Resistance, which was very fun. But that weirdly worked. But you know what? I feel like things like that do work out in Disney. It was a Disney day, and Disney days always work out great no matter what. So that's kind of what where my head was at. I just was like, it's gonna work out. So the things that I wanted to ride, I wanted to do the Haunted Mansion holiday, because I thought I had never done it, and then I think I maybe did do it. So we rode the canoes, we try to get reservations at this restaurant, which Kyle got, which was Kyle magic, and then
very cool.
And then we went to Pirates of the Caribbean. We walked over to Pirates of the Caribbean. And we rode that, and it said that the line was like 40 minutes or something. We got through it pretty quick. And Kyle, I'm right there with you. I guess we got to get into it so we can come back to this. But after that, we did Haunted Mansion. We had a drink at Carthay. Is it Carthay Circle? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Which was a great drinks. The drinks were really good. And I wish that we got to spend a little more time there.
We also
that was,
fit in Star Tours. You mentioned.
Star Tours.
Yeah.
We didn't even have a pass for Star Tours.
That was a plus one. You're like, well, let's go to Star Tours. And we did it. And then we went over to the Haunted Mansion. So also the route we're taking is really circuitous. Like nothing is next to each other. Like we're at Pirates. We go all the way over to Star Tours, which is the other end of the park in Tomorrowland. Then we go back the direction we were to go to Haunted Mansion. And then we go into Disney California Adventure, is an entirely different adjacent park, to do the Carthay Circle and then the Incredicoaster, and then you're back into Disneyland, as Kyle mentioned, for Rise of the Resistance.
You left. I went to Rise of the Resistance. You were like, I don't know if it's going to time out, and I went Rise of the Resistance. And I did just about as many rides as I wanted to that day. But Kyle, quick breakdown. Were there any highlights of the day? I love Haunted Mansion. I don't know if I love the holiday re-theme of it, but I love the ride in general. And people, you know, speaking of deaths, people I know like spread ashes there and they're supposed to be like actual ghostly activity. But I think that like Pirates and Haunted Mansion blow me away for rides that are like 60 years old or whatever. I think they're both so good. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. Highlights would be, I definitely enjoyed going on the canoes because I'd never done them. But yeah, I agree with you. Haunted Mansion and Pirates are, excuse the word, iconic. And in terms of the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, cool. I'm glad we did it. I wouldn't go out of my way to see it. I'm not a skeleton head per se, but it was, you know, nice.
It's wild that at some point, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, like Nightmare Before Christmas just became like a guy. Like you were just a guy who was into Nightmare Before Christmas, and that was just your personality. And you'll see Nightmare Before Christmas people like at the Nightmare Before Christmas ride. Like it's just like, oh, wow, yeah, I guess this is right in your wheelhouse.
Also feels like, sort of peak Hot Topic.
Sure, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there was like a sort of, maybe like a goth light persona in like that this began in like the early aughts or something like that.
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like people like date skeleton type of guys. I think I think that there are a lot of Jack Skellington type guys out there.
Now, Mike, who are your friends?
I'm more of a Mr. Boogity, unfortunately.
Some guys playing some skeleton rib cages, like xylophones or something like that. I got to tell you, I don't trust the guy.
I think that there is a little bit of horniness involved with that too. The Nightmare Before Christmas crowd. I like it. I just think that like the original ride looks so good, and then like you kind of overlay like it feels like a lot of like cutouts. There's a couple things of like the dog in the hallway that's like the ghost dog is cute, and like Jack when you come down right before the graveyard, there's like a big Jack skeleton, but like a lot of it kind of looks like newer and like brighter. And I love the Honda Mansion is so good as is that it's funny to me that 3 months of the year, because it starts in, you know, September and then it goes to like into January. Right. Like that ride is so good on its own. And I don't think it needs anything else, but whatever. People love it. Incredicoaster is so good. Why? Because you got really hurt on it. Right.
Yeah, I got injured on Incredicoaster. I thought it didn't bust me in the way that the Simpsons ride did. The Simpsons ride like serious back pain, but this one the shoulder harness I think was too tight, was too taut, because I had like lacerations on both deltoid when I saw myself shirtless later. Yeah, and so I had like 3
saw
inch
yourself
like
shirtless basic, later.
I took my shirt off and I was looking in a mirror. All right.
Okay. All right.
You had a rough, because you also bonked your head at the tram, the parking tram.
Yeah, I hit my head on the tram and I was like dizzy for like the first 2 hours I was there. Yeah, I hit my head
so
hard.
So things worked out magic, as you call me, Magic Mitch. And then for you, you bonked your head as soon as you got to the tram. And then the seat in Incredicoasters was cutting you.
Yes.
Incredicoasters, great roller coaster too. That was a lot. That was
good coaster.
That's a great coaster.
Yeah.
But
and that's Kyle, one where, you know, that's an overlay. It was just the California, what was it called?
Yes.
Mickey's
Screamin'.
Mickey's
California
Journey
California
or something.
Screamin'. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. California Screamin'. Not
and,
Mickey's
you know,
Journey,
I don't hate
sorry.
The Incredibles in there and some Jack.
Yeah. Jack's going crazy. That's fun. And, you know, like you're chasing them through the ride. That coaster is great. It's a lot of fun. And did you enjoy Rise of the Resistance? I was saying this. I'll say my feelings on it on this coming Thursday episode, but it felt like a big empty Star Wars warehouse to me in a lot of ways. Like,
right.
I thought the ride was really impressive in many ways, but also I'm like, a part of me wishes that Darth Vader was there and it was old Star Wars. And also like, I wish it was either more of a ride or just more of an experience. And it's kind of like in between of the two, but I do think that there's a lot of stuff that's great about it. Like there's a lot of cool things about it.
I agree with that. I'll say that, like, thinking about Pirates of the Caribbean, I think that it is like a sort of a contemporary version of it to some degree. Yeah. A ton of animatronics, super long. But yeah, I did love it. And when I think about it in retrospect, I thought it was really cool, but coming out of it, I maybe expected a little more thrill in a way that was maybe silly of me to even think of, but it was awesome.
And there is like a thrill moment where the cart gets, there's a lot of great things about it, but there's a moment where like your cart gets locked in and there's like kind of a drop. And I thought there would maybe be more of a thing there or something. I also don't love like, and getting into Pirates of the Caribbean, I love like a dark ride that has animatronics and it just is immersive. And so much stuff with new rides is like just, you know, video screens, which kind of bumps me out a little bit more.
Or you have a task.
Yes.
Which also is just like even Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters, which I really enjoy
that. Yeah.
But it is too. Like, it is a little bit of a different energy from riding a ride. It's just like, oh, I have to try to do well at this task.
Yeah. I thought the Millennium Falcon ride stinks. I'm not a fan of it. And also, we got all new Wags. We got all new, all sequel Star Wars stuff on Star Tours. We were at the bat with the Rise of Skywalker. What is that battle? The lightning battle?
Yes. The first off, we went to Jakku.
You should tell this, Mitch,
because you were seated next to a little girl.
I was delighted. I was seated next to a little girl.
I was worried you're going to throw her into a pond by accident, not knowing your strength. And
it was weird that she was just alone, that little girl.
She was just alone. Yeah, I guess her parents are probably just like, you're old enough to take care of yourself and let her loose in the park.
I was thrilled because she was like 11, like either she was 10 to 12 or somewhere in there. And I sat next to her. I was like, you ready? You know, I said like probably scarred her for life. Being like, you ready for the ride? Hey, you ready for the ride, little girl? She was like, you know, like, what the fuck? Who the fuck is this guy? But she,
let me sit next to Weiger. Actually, wait, no, I'll move back.
I was really hoping that you would be the person we were trying to smuggle, Wags. But it was the road in front of us. Yeah. But she was like, Ray, Ray, they were like, we're going to meet Ray. And they bring up Ray, like maybe brought up
Ray.
Yeah, we
go to Jakku and Ray's up on the side screen.
That's who it is, Ray. She comes up on the side screen and she goes, no, not Ray. Anyone but Ray. I hate Ray. She was saying she hated Ray. Which I started to smile like the Grinch. I got a huge smile on my face. I mean, it's like, and we said it afterwards. It's like, the character made specifically for you.
Yes.
Like, it's made
targeted
for like,
your demographic.
Young girls between like, you know, 8 to 12 or whatever. Like, that, it's her demographic. And she was like, I hate Ray. She did like Poe. She was into Poe.
Loved Poe. Poe got a huge pop. When Poe showed up, the crowd fucking ate it up.
Maybe of the sequels, maybe the character that maybe just stuck with people. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we also went through the lightning storm of the Rise of Jedi. It was
You go to Exegol, the Exegol, final battle of Rise of Skywalker, which is Exegol. Just like, it was one of those things you show up there and everyone's like, woo, because we're in a new world. And then kind of just a malaise settled over the crowd because we're like, wait, no, this sucks. And also yeah, like, kind of like in a, this.
It was like a woo.
Huh? Yeah. Like a... this was a bad ending. Yeah, it was a yeah, because also that space battle doesn't even have like, oh, it's like the trench run or like, oh, it's like the, you know, the part where the Millennium Falcon shoots out of the flames. It's like it doesn't have anything like that. It's just like ships are flying around and then all the action happens on the ground.
Kyle, so look, we covered all that. We got to talk about the ride, but I want to quickly talk about food because, Nick, you and I, we walked by Dole Whips, and I am actually still sad that because when I go to Disney, I want to get a Coca-Cola, which I got a Coca-Cola, and I want to get a churro, just a plant, like the regular cinnamon churro, and then I want to get a Dole Whip. Those are like the three things so that bad. I want more than anything, and we walked by the Dole Whip, and then if the thing didn't work with our reservation, we were going to maybe go to the place next to the Tiki Room that sells Dole Whips, but... Kyle, do you have favorite Disney park snacks? Like, do you
great
have like
question.
Your?
Well, also, I mean, like, not Disneyland, but Dole Whip makes me think of another Dole Whip product, essentially that exists in Disney World at the Polynesian Hotel, which is the spiky pineapple, which essentially is like a drinkable Dole Whip with rum in it. But then you can.
Shit.
Wow. I went to Disney World for the first time probably, you know, 3 or 4 years ago or something. And we were staying at the Polynesian the bartender at the Tiki Bar. I don't know what it's called offhand, but he's like, if you really want to have fun before you go into the Magic Kingdom, you can make it extra spiky. And I was like, what's that? And they pour Bacardi 151 floater on top of this Dole Whip drink.
Jesus.
And you'll be seeing a couple Mickeys, you know, it's but it's actually like one of my favorite cocktails in the universe. It's so tasty.
That's rad.
The old drunk thing is that you would see like flying elephants, right? That's what you would see in Disney anyways.
Mm. That's just Dumbo.
Was it pink elephants?
I think it's pink elephants.
It's pink elephants. All right, whatever. It still worked. All right. I have never had that before, but I've been at the Polynesian, but I've never stayed
there.
And
I think they now serve a version at Trader Sam's or maybe the outdoor. Is that what it's called? Trader Sam's by Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm not sure exactly what it's called. It might be Trader Sam's.
There's an indoor and like an outdoor area. And they essentially have, I believe now, a Dole Whip style drink. Not sure you can get it extra spiky, though. I'll have to check someday.
That Trader Sam's is great and has like the there's a head shrinker drink and then like your stool will go lower into like there's a couple stools that will go lower into the ground and there's like
That's
thunder
cute.
And lightning. There's a lot of great stuff. Yes, I think it is Trader Sam's.
By the way, from you know, and this doesn't just correspond with like, oh, I turned 21 and realized this. A big part of it was before Disney California Adventure opened up, there really weren't any places near Disney that you could like, or in Disney proper that you could get an alcoholic beverage. There was Club 33, which was like the secret hideaway for like the elites. But that was basically it. And like drinking at Disney is, I feel like, its own thing now. It's like become, yeah. Maybe it was always a thing in Florida, but like, you know, going as a kid in SoCal, it always seemed more of a family day than like, oh, adults are going to go and get day drunk.
All right, Kyle, one last question. Have you been into Club 33?
I got to go via Taron Killam. Wow. And it was awesome. And there's, they have like a version in California Adventure sort of within the Carthay Circle area that arguably is even more awesome. Doesn't have the history. But Nick, I'll just add to what you're saying. Like the drinking component, I feel like California Adventure, sometimes for me, often for me, it's like a giant beer garden almost. Do you know what I mean? You're collecting a glass of wine or a beer and you're walking in this huge open space, picking off rides when you can, but also just enjoying having a place to walk and hang with friends and have a drink.
It's a rad element.
Kyle, do you, any other Disney snacks specifically? Are you like a turkey leg guy or a churro or pretzel with cheese?
Big corn dog.
I love corn dogs, but there's nothing that I go out of my way for.
That's fair.
Yeah. Sometimes too, I'll also just get a bite at Downtown Disney. There was this place called Uva Bar, which has some good, they got like some flatbread type stuff, guacamole, something, another dish that's really good. But yeah, no, there's nothing, but typically I'm with somebody who's like, I got to get a churro. So I'm down with right that.
I was a big Pizza Port supporter at one point where I liked the Pizza Port.
Oh boy, Mitch, Mother's Day's coming up. You got sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. Mm. Unfortunately, Mother's Day gifts can be a little predictable and boring. That's why an Aura frame is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Dreaded bathrobe covering mom up? Ugh.
Get that sweater off of you. Too many layers.
Wags, that's right. You know what? I'm guilty. I've given my mom too many of these boring gifts.
Yes.
Some sweaters, some candles, some dreaded bathrobes.
I've accidentally given my mom the same gift twice.
Wow.
It's really embarrassing. Or you end up getting like, oh, I guess I'll give you a gift card. I don't, you know, like it doesn't feel like there's any love behind that.
Well, guess what, Wags? I've also gifted my mom an Aura frame. That's right.
Wow.
This is the truth. Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and come with unlimited storage so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame.
Not only will she be grateful it's not another sweater, she'll also love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
That's right. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code Doughboys at checkout to save. And you know what, Wags? My mom liked her Aura frame so much. This is true. She got my sister one, and now my sister's got one in her dining room.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Terms and conditions apply. Send photos you want from your phone to mom's frame. In fact, Mitch, I'm going to send your mom a photo right now.
The hell?
Enjoy, Mrs. Mitchell.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you, Mommy.
You're talking to your mom, right?
Yeah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
We got to talk about the ride within our remaining time, Wags.
Yes.
This is one of my favorite rides, too. We all rode it together. me, Kyle, myself, Wags, and Scott Geirner was with us as well. And not a long wait. It's kind of like, you know, you get like a couple drops, you get like a drop or two, and it feels kind of like a little bit like you get a little small thrill. The thing that's funny to me is, you know, they updated the ride like a few years ago because there was a wife auction, which is, you know, dated and kind of shitty. And then, you know, there's like a couple other things, but then the funny thing to me is that the ride still closes with Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
And he's walking around there's Captain Jack Sparrow's walking around the park.
No, it feels still like heavy now depth. Kind of,
it's heavy on depth. It feels ingrained in its DNA now.
Yes.
But the ride, it's so great. It just feels like you're going into like a cavernous. It really feels like you're going deep down. You're up top. You see people at a restaurant nearby. You see the fireflies, the old man on the dock, just all the whole setup of like this quiet part before the big drop. And then everything you see afterwards before you get to like the big ship battle is like the, you know, the people dead in there. So there's like kind of like the haunted side of it too. You see people dead in their beds and like other skeletons.
Yes.
And then the big ship battle. I love it. I maybe think it is one of my favorite rides. I love Space Mountain too, but Pirates is like a dark ride. I don't think it can get better than that. What are your thoughts on it?
Is this me?
Well, Weiger stayed as silent as an animatronic Pirates guy.
I assumed you were throwing it to our guest.
Well, you can jump in too if you want to.
Well, I know, but you just sort of generally put it to the floor.
Okay.
Because asking our guest. Sorry.
All right, here we go. All right, to the floor. What are your thoughts?
So me first.
Jesus Christ. Aren't you a member of like five podcasts?
I have one other podcast. Come on.
All right, Wags, how about you go first, and then we'll get our guests' thoughts after that.
I'll say this because I'm with the two of you. I love this ride. I think it's rad. I'm fine with all of its iterations over the years. Like I was a little bit of a skeptic of them integrating the
You're
Pirates
fine with
of,
the way it was before. Okay.
Yeah, it was good. It used to be good. Now it's still okay. I like Depp a lot. I think the thing I was most skeptical of, honestly, was them adding Johnny Depp because I was like, well, I don't know why does it need to tie in directly with the IP?
Yeah.
But it is a really good animatronic, you know, I can at least say that, regardless of the problematic nature of the man himself. Although, whatever, people are saying redeemed. I don't know. You see,
he's back.
YouTube channels, people are like, he's back. I was like, all right, sure. I'll trust this source.
Unfortunately, we didn't have the live version of Johnny Depp, which I know he's done before. We were hoping that we'd get a live Depp. Oh, right.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But here's part of my history with Disneyland is that I was, until I hit middle school, I was a big time ride coward. Like I went on Big Thunder Mountain twice. I tried it once and I cried. And I tried a second time and I cried. And I distinctly remember crying on Big Thunder Mountain the second time and like ruining the experience of the other people in the car because they just had a wail, like our train, because they just had a wailing child who was terrified. Like 8.
Jesus.
I was a little too old to be that panicked, but I was like freaking out. And
but also to be clear, you did cry on Pirates as well on this trip.
This time, yeah. Because I missed the wives auction. but Pirates, it had those two drops, and I could go down those drops and endure them and feel like a big boy because it was like, oh, I have these drops. They're not actually that scary, but they're pretty scary though. And then just most of it is just a fun sort of journey, and it remains one of my favorite rides. I honestly think my favorite ride these days in both parks might be Radiator Springs Racers.
So good.
The cars ride. It's fucking fantastic. And it's a similar sort of concept where it's like, you know, this dark ride, but then it has this racing component at the end that's just like really well done. I like the little amount of thrill plus just like a whole lot of theming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like going to it as a child, like it feels and felt so incredibly immersive. And like,
yes,
I think it's one of the first rides where like I had to do the math of like, where am I relative to the park at large? You know what I mean? Because you're dropping down. And then once you get to the that big battle scene with the cannonballs, the ceilings are so high and
huge.
You kind of just have to wonder how, where is this? How does this fit in to everything?
Right.
But yeah, and I love, I think like if you're into robots, if you like animatronics, this has so many of them. Yeah, I did the light research I did. Mark Davis is one of the guys who this was kind of his project, I think. And it was, the ride was built while Walt was alive. And he was one of Walt's nine old men, like kind of one of these classic animators who worked on all of the most famous Disney features. But like you can sort of, one thing I've always loved about it is the way these characters look. You know, you can, there's a caricature to them. They don't necessarily look super human per se. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's like almost like a cartoonist on the beach, like some sort of exaggerated features.
Yeah, like some of them are jowly, like big cheeks or like a weird, like a shiny chin or something. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff
they're stylized.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I just generally love that look. I mean, the music is great and
so good.
And just the length of it. You know, there's, I think before now there's Rise of the Resistance, but everything else I imagine clocks in like under, you know, 3 minutes or 2 minutes or something like that. And this is, I don't know, 9, 10 minutes, 12 minutes. I have no idea.
And the weight is never too bad. I feel like you're right. They look like human. They look almost like a Disney cartoon that was never made or something.
Yeah.
And I feel like they don't really look human either. I mean, they kind of look like me. There's one guy who has two cats on a part of the ride, and he is like a kind of a chubby guy with two cats that I am. It is pretty close to. I took video and pictures of the ride, but they did not come out great. And we, by the way, Kyle, thank you for doing any research on it. Because Nick and I apparently did no research.
I don't know that I told anyone anything new, but you know what? I'm down to be that guy for you. Moving forward.
I feel like that point you have about like it being so cavernous and you're like, oh, this is built partially underground or whatever. Like this is below ground. It is fascinating. And especially that high ceiling moments. And then also, we haven't talked about it, but the song, the Yo-Ho,
song
Yo-Ho,
is so fucking good.
The song is really good. That's like, to me, is one of the early Zippity Doo-Dah. I had a cat named Zip. We named my cat Zip after Zippity Doo-Dah, which I know that Song of the South is not, you know, it's not, it's, they kind of have forgotten about that for good reason. Hold on a second. Let me gather my thoughts here. Song of the South is dated and bad, but Zippity Doo-Dah is like, they still play that in the parks. And that's like, we heard that down in Disney, but like, Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, A Pirate's Life for me is like another, that is to me is like one of the most iconic Disney songs. I love it.
I agree. And I think it's, you know, Zippity Doo-Dah, When You Wish Upon a Fall, a Star. And then there's also like the, Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho. I think those are like the like songs that I think of as like, oh yeah, those are like the big, those are like big Disney songs. And I think that the magic of this one is, you know, you compare it with the Small World song, which everyone's like, it's annoying and it's an earworm and it gets stuck in your head. But that song is like omnipresent throughout the entire ride. Here they use it just enough. And it's also like jaunty enough and has enough variation melodically where it doesn't become just like this repetitive loop. It's just like every time it comes in, you're like, oh, it's Yo-Ho, Yo-Ho. And if you want to sing along, you can. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's great.
I will add a piece of, before I forget, trivia that was told to me when I, Bragg, was on one of those VIP tours where they sort of, you're with a tour guide who takes you through the park and brings you to the front of the lines.
That rules.
But they said that, so that opening scene where we're, I don't know, what would you call that? Sort of backwoodsy, like in a fireflies, gators.
It feels like Louisiana. I mean, I guess it is New Orleans Square, so it's like kind of like the bayou. A little bit of bayou wag, a little man on the bayou.
Yeah, that gator recognized you.
But yeah, you end the very last moment is with an old man, and you hear like some banjo playing, and he's at his little cabin. But what I was told by this person was that that man, we're essentially going into his memories. So he was somewhat that's involved cool. in this whole pirate thing, and that's what we're experiencing.
That's really wild.
And now he's retired to the simple life, just being on a porch in a rocking chair with a banjo. How about that?
Yep.
And his little pet gator. I got to say this too, is like when you go down there and there's like, you go through kind of the ghostly stuff and, you know, there's the, there's just a couple things of like the pirate drinking the booze and you see the booze right. going through his body. And then there's this was, I think, added later, but the one guy that you go by that like you see, he's a pirate, and then you go by him and you see him kind of come to life. Like you see his, and I said to you, that's, hey, pre and post pandemic is the joke I made to you, which you pointed out that it didn't make any sense and it was backwards, which was true.
I still liked it.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
The bit I like kind of mentioned when we were getting in at the start of the ride is that like you get to see people eating at the restaurant Blue Bayou as you're about to launch into the ride. And I've said this, I know I've heard many people, I'm pretty sure I've heard people before say this, that like, whoa, the animatronics are really good here.
Yeah,
it's in reference to the live people eating lunch.
You set it up as like other people that have said this, but I think if you just said it, like I would have been like, oh, that's really good. Like, I mean, not with the context of knowing that this was an old joke. I think you could have claimed it as your own.
Okay.
That's my note for you, is like, you might want to consider stealing more material uncredited.
But now people will hear, I want to also give it to the world, your listeners,
yes, right.
to do with what they please.
That's a fun thing to use with if you're a dad with your family or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I heard one of the people at the restaurant at Blue Bio look into our boat and see you and say, man, the animatronics are really good on the boat.
That's good.
So you see this guy, you know, which I think was added. I guess the thing that was weird to me is that didn't there used to be a pirate thing in Smoke, or is that only at Disney World?
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, it was the Bill Nighy, the actor. I don't know what the name of the character is. The kind of like octopus.
I think it's Davy Jones, right?
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. The sort of squid-like character was over a mist.
Yeah,
they got rid of that? Okay, that's gone now. But I mean, I guess that was probably new anyways. I think they like tried to add some new things when they added the depth stuff. But just even when you're going through, you know, when you get to like the cannonball fight and there's like parts of the water that are exploding, that's so cool. And I love the fact that it's a water ride. And then you look up into like a building and you see like the shadows sword fighting. And I don't know if that's new or not, but there's like so many, in like you were saying, Kyle, it's just so immersive. There's so many details as you go along that like you could ride it multiple times and not see things that you haven't seen before. But I mean, look, I don't know if we can rate this. I think we might as well out of...
We got to rate
it. I'm going to give it out of hook hands, I guess. Out of hooks. We'll get it out of hooks.
Well, I thought we were doing things out of pieces of eight.
Well, no, it doesn't. That's restaurants. This is different. It's a ride.
We rated the fucking movie out of... We rated the movie with Griffin out of pieces of eight. Emma's nodding.
Yep.
That was when the system was born. We rated Muppets Treasure Island. By the way, Kyle, have you seen Muppets Treasure Island?
I don't think I ever have.
It's really good.
I thought it was delightful.
Okay,
it's the first Muppets movie I've ever seen, but I really liked it.
It's good.
Anyway, yeah, we rated that one out of...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Wigs, but that...
Not at all.
As a child, that was the first one you ever saw?
I should have
clarified. I'd never seen a Muppets movie until I saw Muppets Treasure Island for the podcast. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We told them that...
And I really liked
it. The Muppet movie. That's one of my favorite
classic
movies.
I'll watch them all.
All right, so pieces of eight?
Yeah.
Not out of hooks? Okay, we won't do it out of hooks. We'll do it out of pieces of eight. I mean, it's out of five pieces of eight, Kyle.
Right.
Which people thought was...
What is a piece of eight?
It was a Spanish currency.
Okay.
And you have eight pieces and that makes one. And apparently the word peso is related to pieces of eight.
Okay.
So pieces of eight.
Yeah. But pirates would piracy would often reference pieces of eight. I feel like.
Uh, It's no longer, it's a currency no longer used, I don't believe. Pieces of eight, I don't think, are used anymore. But
I don't think so.
We're doing it. Five, you can get, so the highest score is 5 out of 5 pieces of eight, which people, our listeners, thought I was dumb and not making a joke. But here we go. I mean, it's getting 5 out of 5 pieces of eight. It's one of my favorite rides forever. It's the fact that Walt was alive.
Yes.
Which, by the way, people are giving me a hard time about my birthday. And I want to say this, that tomorrow night, Gabrus is taking over for me. And like, you were making fun of me. You're like, Mitch doesn't work on his birthday. And it's like his birthday month. And tomorrow night, I'm having dinner with my mom and sister for my 40th birthday. And even when I told Gabrus, even Gabrus, who roasts me for everything, was like, oh yeah, that's normal. That's a normal. It's a normal thing to go have dinner with your fucking family.
I didn't
on
say
your
it
birthday.
Wasn't normal.
These kids,
I just still thought it was funny.
Some guy commented like, Mitch is such a child. It's like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? I'm having dinner with my mom and sister on my 40th birthday. That's not weird. Anyways.
Look, it's also, Mitch, is just to remind you, this episode's coming out after that. Mm-hmm. So this will, like, we're recording this before that. I'm just saying, like, it just, you're, you know, it'll be old news by then.
Kyle joined me for pizza and a movie on my birthday for before I left town. But
how fun.
I missed the movie, but the pizza was great.
Yeah.
But Wags, you weren't there, right? You were. What happened?
No, we had Natalie and I have date night on Sunday nights, so we're doing.
I do like
thing.
That. All right, that's fair. Yeah. Anyways, piece of shit. I bet you went alone.
I went and got dinner by myself instead of going out with my wife or going to your birthday.
I think so.
You think that's what I did?
It was laid back. It was just a get together. Five out of five pieces of eight. It is crazy to hear that Walt was alive while this was happening. And I do wish more modern rides are like, you know, just a dark ride like that is just so magical and immersive. And obviously, like, at the time spent so much money and time and care on it, you know, like that's the thing of like, I'm sure like the guys who made the Millennium Falcon ride, it obviously was like a lot of planning and stuff, but I'm just like, it can't even touch Pirates of the Caribbean. And I would love more like immersive dark rides like that, where there's full animatronics. I think it's expensive, obviously. And I think it's a lot of time and planning, but I wish that you saw more stuff like that now. And it is right up there with my favorite rides. And I love it. A perfect ride.
Yeah. I'll also give it 5 out of 5 pieces of eight. I will say the regarding pieces of eight, I looked it up on
Jesus
Wikipedia. The Spanish dollar, I'm just reading this verbatim. The Spanish dollar, also known as the piece of eight, real de ocho.
My mom is poking her head in. So
hi, Mrs. Mitchell.
Hi, Mama Mitchell.
Hey.
There you go.
Great son.
We love your son.
Well, Kyle done. Says great son, Ma. Kyle and Nick and Emma say great son, they all said.
She
says, thank you.
She's kind of hijacking the podcast like a pirate.
She is. She's I'll be up in a few minutes. The dinner is about to be ready. So
okay. Hey, Mrs. Mitchell, what's for dinner?
Hey, Ma, they want to know what's for dinner.
A kind of chicken parmesan.
Fun.
A weirder kind of chicken parmesan.
Sounds good. Mitch sent over a picture of your. A photograph of your stew, and it looked delicious.
I sent over a picture of your Irish Guinness stew, and Nick said it looked delicious.
Oh, the picture of the food itself?
Yeah.
The recipe?
Just the picture of the food.
Oh, okay, good.
She wants me to make it when I go back west, right, Ma?
Yeah, you can do it.
You're going to make it.
Right. I'm going to make it for Wags. All right.
That's okay.
Easy. Oh, we'll see if it's easy. Bye, Ma. I love
you. See you, Mrs. Mitchell.
Enjoy the birthday dinner.
Dude, I am going to fucking yell at her.
Don't do that.
The Spanish dollar was a real de ocho. It was worth 8 Spanish reales, and it was basically the currency of Spain. As it looks like almost up until the euro. So you know what they called, you know, the real or the peso was fundamentally the pieces of eight, and it became associated with piracy. Via Treasure Island, as most pirate tropes. They had pieces of eight in there. And so that's where that comes from. But yeah, 5 out of 5 pieces of eight. Perfect ride. No notes. Had a blast. And Kyle,
water ride, too. A water ride.
Yeah, I love
ride.
That it's a water ride. I love that it's got a couple of drops. Kyle, we'll throw it over to you.
Yep. 5 out of 5. Agree. I don't think we even touched upon it. I was just thinking about the smell. There's such a specific. I feel like for me, already so many great things said about this ride, but it typifies the best of what Disney is. And it's the best version of those like fantasy land dark rides. And I would say, like, if you want to experience something that to me feels like, if you had to choose one ride that is so specifically Disneyland, Walt Disney specific or whatever, this would be the ride I would choose.
Yeah.
I just nodded my head emphatically because that's a fantastic point. It's like, yeah, this is basically Disney in a nutshell.
Yeah. And also it's kind of fun if you get a little splash. Well, you're not going to get wet, but you can get a little, you get a little sprinkle of water on you. You laugh at that. It's fun if you get like a little bit of wet on the ride.
Yeah. Not too wet, not soaked. You're not going to need a towel. It's great.
And also shout out to my other doppelganger on the ride, the guy with the little piglets. That's also, he's also good too.
you know who I love? The tableau I love, and they reference it in the first Pirates movie. But there's, every time we get to the prisoners trying to lure the dog who's got the keychain, I'm just like, that's such a good joke. It's so good. And like the way that the robots are animated is so good.
And put into the movie too.
Yes.
They put it in the movie. I love that.
I loved that part. At the same as a kid. And I remember my girlfriend in high school, her now stepdad at the time was her mom's boyfriend, went to see the movie before us and was like, there's going to be there's a part in the movie I think you guys are going to like. Referencing the dog with the keys. And it's like, okay, shit, they got the dog with the keys in there.
Yeah, it's like just enough fan service. Like, if they made it these days for the first time, they'd put in too much fan service for the ride. But like back then, it was like, here's one little thing, and then the rest is kind of its own story. Kyle, thank you so much for joining us. I do, before you go, and Emma,
and
we
spending
maybe
your day in Disney too. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you for it. Was so awesome, guys. Truly, thank you for having me.
I had a blast. Great hanging out. Great talking with you today. Awesome. I did want to get your thoughts. And Emma, you can bleep out me saying this, or bleep out the restaurant. So we'll have that still be hidden, although people have probably figured it out. Can we get your thoughts and your fork score real quick? I'm sorry, fork score. Your pieces of eight score out of 5 pieces of eight. Any thoughts on quick thoughts on. And hey, we'll talk about that in more depth at the end of the month.
Kyle, thank you for being here. And like, look, when I get mad at Disney for stuff, this is like the Disney I love. And I can't believe, like I said, that Walt was alive. This is like 60-year-old ride. But an honor to have you come with us. Is there anything that you'd like to plug?
We got this show, Saturday Morning All-Star Hits on Netflix, that I made with Scott Gardner, who was hanging out with us on our Disney day. And if you haven't checked that out, that would be awesome. But Brigsby Bear, the movie I made a few years ago, I'm sure buy it on Amazon or rent it. That's it.
Definitely check out Saturday Morning All-Star Hits. And I was going to say, also just regarding that for Doughboys fans, Chris Van Artsdalen also had a hand in that show, our artist. So past guest. Great dude.
Yeah.
And great show. Check that out.
He did the art for this month's, which he always does. He did the art for this month as well.
He did. Yeah, he does. He does all our art. And so check it out. And hey, look, we talked about the song a lot. It's iconic. Ugh. Again, to use the word Kyle used, but yo-ho, yo-ho, a pirate's life for me. I feel like we just gotta, there's no other way to end the episode.
By the way, Emma just went, ugh.
So here we go.
Let's play yo-ho, yo-ho. Yarg.
Yarg.
We'll here you go, time. Landlubbers. See ya.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish. And maybe I seem a bit confused.
Wait, this isn't it.
Yeah, maybe. But I got you, pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do? Frasier has left the building.
Hmm.
Yarg.
Yarg.
Want more Doughboys? Check out the Doughscored, our Discord server. You get Doughscored access plus the Doughboys double when you join the Platinum Plate Club at patreon.com/doughboys. That's patreon.com/doughboys.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.